May the words I speak and the words you hear be the word of God for us. Amen. Sheep. I wonder what you think of as I say that word, sheep. We have all sorts of preconceptions of sheep and perceptions of sheep. We tend perhaps to think of them as rather stupid animals, a ball of wool with a head and four legs, liable to run off and get lost or be separated from the flock at any instant. Or else we sentimentalise them and sanitise them and make them into cuddly toys and comfortable things with images of children's books and fluffy toys and things like that. The local sculptor of fame, namely Henry Moore, once wrote this about drawing sheep. I began drawing sheep just for the pleasure I get out of drawing for its own sake. At first I saw each sheep only as a big ball of wool with a head and four legs. But gradually, as I got interested, I began to look more intensely, which is what drawing from life always makes you do. As I continued working, I came to love the sheep and began to think also about their immensely strong biblical associations. The great value and purpose of drawing from life, from nature, is to intensify one's observation, to concentrate on looking, and so increase one's knowledge, understanding and appreciation of the object. Those of us who enjoyed a lovely day over at June's house yesterday, learning to use our senses in prayer, part of that day we thought about concentrating on looking at things, very much in the way in which Henry Moore describes how he looked at a sheep and intensified his understanding of what sheep were about. And as we heard this morning, Jesus talks about sheep in the gospel reading. And as you know, he also talks about shepherds, and particularly in St. John's gospel describes himself as the good shepherd. And the picture conjured up there is a blissful pastoral scene of a man holding a shepherd's crook, gently leading his flock to green pastures and still waters, to security and safety. A bit far removed, you must admit, from the modern shepherd with his Land Rover and trailer and four-wheel drive buggy and mobile phone as he rounds up the sheep from the hills and moors and takes them to the shearing shed. And I said to the worshippers at 8 o'clock, with all due apologies to those of you who are favourites of one man and his dog, because that is certainly not doing it with a Land Rover. We can sentimentalise shepherds the same as we can sentimentalise sheep, ending up with a vision of a sort of male Bo Peep figure which has little to say to us. But there was nothing sentimental about how Jesus spoke about either a shepherd or his sheep when he talked about God's concern for those who were lost. defending his own actions in sharing meals with tax collectors and all those referred to generally as sinners, who were anything but part of the dinner party circuit of his day. Some may have become lost because of their own actions or foolishness, but others were lost through no fault of their own. And in the gospel story, the shepherd leaves 99 sheep to search for one. Why? Sheep die for all sorts of reasons, and no shepherd, particularly in the Holy Land, can ever expect to get through a whole season without losing a single one. And the woman in the story turns her house upside down looking for one coin when she has 9 other perfectly good ones. And again, everyone knows that coins go missing. And there's no suggestion in this story that the woman is particularly poor and couldn't afford, as it were, to lose a coin without too much sadness. Both the shepherd and the woman are behaving really rather oddly, as Jesus is, of course, according to the Pharisees. And in each of these stories, one point is hammered home. God's reaction is wild and exaggerated, just like the shepherd searching for one out of 100, and the woman searching for the coin. There is no profligacy in God's housekeeping. He cannot reconcile himself to natural wastage. He is madly happy when someone turns back to him. It's a vivid picture of God thriftily counting up all the people he's made, anxious that no one should get lost. And what is so radical about this is that in Jesus, God is revealed as not only one who welcomes the penitent sinner, but also one who seeks them out, who takes the initiative, who goes out and searches for the lost, maybe for you and me. Paul, in his letter to Timothy, has grasped this truth in his own experience. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. This blaspheming, persecuting, violent man had been sought by the risen Lord with unlimited patience until his grace was poured out. What a lovely picture, having a shower of God's grace and being washed clean by his forgiving love. And what a difference that experience was to make to the whole of Christendom down to the present day. We only have to listen to the news or read the papers to know that there are a lot of people who are lost in our world today. Police stations show pictures of missing persons who've left home without trace. Abused women and children hide behind curtains, lost in their own homes, and their plight remains unknown to the world. Young people leave home and wander hopelessly in large cities, lonely in a crowd. Victims of racism and many seeking asylum from oppression are made to feel that they are lost, even when they get to an alien land. The anxious and the desperate feel lost when they are unable to control events and they cannot cope with what is happening to them. Illness, grief, unemployment, no money, broken relationships, and they feel under so much stress. They don't know how to cope. They too are the lost ones. And interviews with such people always have echoes of words like boredom, wanting to do my own thing without really knowing what my own thing means, and hoping for a better, purposeful life, a life where community and family count for much. Sadly, like the sheep, they barely know they were lost. But the shepherd knew. The shepherd knew the sheep was lost, and he loved that sheep enough to risk his own life to find it. We Christians have a gospel to proclaim that offers people of all ages and conditions someone to follow who will give meaning, purpose, and significance to their lives. It also offers a different set of values that are to do with a sense of community, social justice, and selfless action that will express God's great love for the lost. Indeed, this is what the church is all about and stands for, constantly echoing Jesus' actions as the good shepherd seeking the lost sheep. There's an old joke about two students who are talking, and one is telling the other about a religious meeting she has been to. "I found Jesus," she says excitedly. "Oh," says the other, "I didn't know he was lost." But maybe he is. Maybe he is the one who needs to be found. For then the meaningless life can acquire a purpose, in the same way as Jesus gave his first disciples a sense of purpose in pursuing the cause of what he called the kingdom of God, and in making new disciples who would continue to learn and to follow wherever he led them. And just as he transformed the lives of the lost ones of his day, he can do the same for us and for the lost ones of our day. The Good Shepherd who seeks and finds the lost sheep. Amen.